In spring 1940, with the help of the Reich Association of Jews, I came to Munich and began working at the Jewish apprentice workshop that still existed in the rear building of Reichenbachstraße 27. We pretended to be assistants and were able to attend training courses in carpentry and mechanics to enable us to emigrate. Fritz and Alfred Sänger directed the workshop, which was under constant Gestapo supervision. Obersturmbannführer Mugler of the Gestapo took pleasure in humiliating and harassing us at every opportunity. We were 15 apprentices living at the Israelite Apprentices Hostel at Hohenzollernstraße 4. After breakfast, we took the tram to Marienplatz, then walked across the Viktualienmarkt to the workshop in Reichenbachstraße. But soon the Gauleitung forbade us to use the tram. Regulations and prohibitions multiplied. Under threat of severe punishment, we were forbidden to use public parks or to go to the movies or theater. The yellow star had to be worn visibly, and we could only shop in certain stores. We did our best to get round these prohibitions, incurring great danger with our youthful levity. Things could have ended badly for us. At the workshop, for instance, we made tin stars with a pin soldered onto the back. At the edges, there were tiny holes by means of which we sewed on our yellow stars. In an emergency, you could quickly pin your star on, and it looked deceptively genuine. In this way, we preserved some freedom of movement, but it was my friend Harry Schuh's downfall. He was sent home, and later he lost his life in Dachau. We earned a little money running errands for people in the old people's home or in summer, watering gardens or tending graves still in Jewish possession in Freimann. We also received permission from the Israelite community at Lindwurmstraße 125 to set up a soccer pitch and a sports ground in the new Israelite cemetery. So we had soccer matches and field events with the youths from the Home for Jews Berg am Laim. In winter 1940-41, we were ordered to clear snow in the city with English prisoners of war. Then came the order that Jews were to hand over their coats, fur coats, skis, cameras, and so on. We had to fetch the things from elderly people using bicycles and wheelbarrows and take them to Kaulbachstraße 65, the Jewish old people's home, a collection point. They were then fetched from there. In 1941, I and four comrades had to go to Knorrstraße 148. For the first time, we saw the barrack camp that had been put up there. We had no idea at the time what its purpose was. We had to line the barrack roofs with glass wool. This had to be done in a lying position because the space between the roof and the ceiling was so confined. Today, I know why we suffered from coughing and skin rashes for weeks after. At the beginning of November 1941, the Israelite community sent us to the freight yard at Milbertshofen to load potatoes, vegetables and coal onto a waiting freight car. We were told the things were destined for Jews who had been evacuated to Poland. A short while after this, SS Obersturmbannführer Mugler ordered us to go to Knorrstraße at 7 a.m. It was a dull November day as we arrived at the entrance barrier. There were already a few SS men in the barrack to the right, immediately beyond the barrier. The remaining barracks, fenced off and arranged around a large square, were still empty. Then Mugler and his Gestapo gang appeared, followed by the first truckload of men and women with suitcases and bags. We had to help unload and carry these cases into the barrack to the right of the entrance. At the center of a big room was a weighing scales on which cases and bags were placed and opened. I don't know how many kilos were allowed. Objects were randomly thrown out of the luggage. A huge pile of clothes and shoes mounted up. Then the people had to take the rest with them to the barracks, which were spartanly equipped with two-tier wooden bunks, just slats without mattresses or straw sacks. Truck upon truck arrived. Among the people were many we knew, including relatives of mine. On the evening of the third day, We weren't permitted to leave the camp. We lay down for a while till the SS came through the camp, shouting that everyone was to get outside. 1,000 people had to line up outside the barracks, then walk along the streets, which were cordoned off by the SS, to the freight yard. We helped the frail and elderly to carry their cases as best we could. An elderly lady's shoes stuck in the mud. I was about to help her when she collapsed. She was dead. Keep moving, I was told. Leave her where she is. A train with plenty of cars was waiting at the yard. One of the cars had two continuous compartments, which we had to keep free. We had to help take the baggage and the people into the rail cars, which was soon impossible because the compartments were occupied by twice as many people as normal. Meanwhile, day began to break and the SS became impatient. "Vermin in, baggage out," they yelled at us. The people wanted to keep the little baggage they still had. The chaos in the compartments was appalling. The SS slammed the doors shut violently. The wretched people were screaming and crying, but there was nothing we could do for them. We thought it was all over. Then a bus arrived containing SS and 21 children from the children's home, the Jewish orphanage in Antonienstraße. We had to take them, still half asleep and crying, and their escorts to one of the continuous compartments. The other continuous compartment was for the SS. I'll never forget the children waving as the train pulled out.
Three days later, this train arrived in Kaunas, where on November 25th, 1941, all the deportees were shot. A total of 44 deportation trains with 3,666 victims departed from Munich. Their destinations were Kaunas, Piaski, Theresienstadt and Auschwitz.
The hostel at Hohenzollernstraße 4 was closed down and those left moved to the children's home in Antonienstraße, where there was room because of the deported children. Our apprentice workshop at Reichenbachstraße was also closed down. They said they were confiscating everything for a Hitler youth school. Through the efforts of a Christian uncle, I received a pass from the Gestapo in Briennerstraße to travel home. There I was conscripted to work in an armaments factory, which I did until I was sent to concentration camp. Today, I am the sole survivor of the Israelite Apprentices Hostel Hohenzollernstraße 4.